Obviously, we're getting closer to Thanksgiving, and so I want to talk about that. The songs this morning are trying to mirror, in a way, the psalm that I'm going to read. I have two different psalms that I'll be reading this Sunday, one next Sunday, and it's trying to get our minds thinking and focused on God and being thankful to God and the various ways that we can do that, because it's important to be thankful. So today we can recognize and be thankful for how God has answered prayer. We try and keep you updated about that on our prayer list. And we were praying for Jerry's dad, and Jerry shared that his dad's at home, and we're thankful for that. So thank you for your prayers for Jerry and his dad that was suffering from pneumonia, is home now. We can be thankful, too, for people that decide to serve in the military and safeguard the freedoms that you and I enjoy. Obviously, hopefully you know that this is Veterans Day. 100 years ago today, November 11th, 1918, they signed the armistice, and that's the day that we recognize those who have served in the armed forces. So if you did serve, can you stand up for me so we can recognize you, those who have served in the armed forces? Thank you, guys. Thank you for your service. We recognize some guys this morning at early service for their commitment and their service in the military. And if you know a vet, say thank you. And if you go to Lowe's, they now have parking for veterans. Did you see that? They have veteran parking, like right beside the handicap parking. I don't know why they're doing that. But right there, if you go to Lowe's, parking right up front. It's wonderful. 10% off, too. This is not a Lowe's commercial, but 10% off at Lowe's for veterans. Being thankful is an important part of our lives. You know it's important because from little on up, you were told to say thank you, to say please and thank you, right? You were told that, and as soon as our kids can talk, they just get some words out of their mouth, our expectation is that they need to be thankful for when you get some water for them or milk for them or a meal for them. They're supposed to say thank you. From the time that they can speak, we're wanting them to be thankful because we know that that's important. I'm sure many of you have done that. If you have raised children, if you're in the midst of raising children, and you were probably taught that as well, to say thank you. There's something important about being thankful, about saying thank you. It feels good when you get a thank you note if you've done something for someone and maybe you don't expect anything in return, but they say thank you. They write something to you, something nice to you, and it's nice. It's nice to be thanked. And we kind of wonder why sometimes when you do something nice, why they don't thank you for it. My dad and some other guys from the church that we grew up in are doing some yard work, the kind of thing that we do once a year on Church Left the Building. They've been doing throughout the summer once a week. And you know, with all the rain we had, they had to stay after. They're doing that for somebody and have yet to be thanked for what they're doing. And so it doesn't feel great when you aren't thanked because it's important. There's a lesson that we're teaching our kids, a lesson that we're learning when we are able to say thank you. So not only that, but studies have shown, the Google says, that this research has been done, these articles that I found, people that say thank you are actually healthier. It is healthy, scientifically proven, it is healthier if you are grateful or a thankful person. It's healthier for you. You have less stress. The studies show people that are more thankful have less stress in their life than those who aren't. People that are more thankful or grateful for what they have, for whatever, are generally speaking healthier than people who aren't. So even being thankful is healthy for us. I've said multiple times, I probably said in here, I know I say to people that doing life God's way is the best way to do life. It's actually physically healthier for us to do life God's way because God says it's important for us to be thankful. All of the Psalms are doing that in some way. I just chose Psalm 136 to try and get us thinking this way and to focus us in on being thankful. But throughout the Psalms, that's what the psalmists are trying to do. They're trying to help us be able to say thank you to God. in some way, shape, or form. Not all of them do that, but many of them are psalms of thanksgiving. The one I've chosen today is not necessarily categorized that way, but the psalmist is doing something very specific in the midst of that to help it be that way, to help it be a psalm of thanksgiving. And as I read this for you, you'll probably be able to hear why. But being thankful is an important part of our life. And just as we tell our kids they should say thank you, and we're disappointed when they don't, when somebody gives them something and they don't say thank you, and you say, now you remember to say thank you. Say thank you for that. Just as we are trying to get our kids to say that because we believe it's important, because it's going to be a great lesson for them as they get older, that being thankful is important, we should be doing that same thing to God. So this morning we sang some songs that we were trying to say thank you to God for who he is and for what he's done. And the psalmist is trying to do the same thing. Each and every Sunday we come, that's what songs are, I think, in the church, are supposed to be able to help us do, to be thankful to God. And some of those songs, you don't have to have 25 different verses saying that. They can be very simple. And as you will see in Psalm 136, at times they are repetitive, but they're trying to communicate something to you, and that is to be thankful. If it's important for our kids, and we think it's important for them, it's probably important for you and I, who are God's kids, we're his sons and daughters, to be thankful to God. It's going to change our perspective on some things in our life. And the psalmist is trying to do the same thing in Psalm 136. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible, New International Version of the Bible. And I'm going to read for you Psalm 136. And as I said, the psalmist isn't specifically saying thank you over and over again. He's saying something different, but he's trying to communicate a heart of thankfulness in reading this. So Psalm 136 reads this way: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. I'm not making this up. If you're not following along, I'm not just repeating that for the sake of repeating it. It keeps saying that. It keeps saying his love endures forever. So I'm at verse 5. Now I'm reading verse 6. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. I hope you're not sick of this yet. There's like 26 verses. I'm reading all of them. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. Are you picking up something here that he's trying to get across? He's trying to make a point here. Hopefully you're getting it. And brought Israel in the midst of it. I read that already. But his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. What comes next? You guys are slow this morning. That's okay. First service had it a little bit better than you do. Respond a little bit quickly, but his love endures forever. That's kind of the point here. So if you didn't notice, that was being repeated a lot in this psalm. And if you did notice, it's not like you needed to repeat that line after everything I said. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That's wonderful. Do we need to say that after give thanks to the God of gods? Do we need to say that after he, with a mighty hand, he killed great kings? You could read that whole psalm without reading his love endures forever over and over and over and over again. Apparently, the psalmist is trying to get a point across in the midst of what he is saying to the gathered people. So you could easily see how this psalm could be read in a congregation like this. I could open that up, I could read that first verse, and then you could repeat his love endures forever. And it was probably done that way. After every single verse, the congregation would repeat, his love endures forever. The psalmist is trying to communicate something to the people that are gathered together in worship of God. When you come on a Sunday morning, this is one of the things that you are communicating by your presence being here, is to say, God, thank you for this past week. God, thank you for being in my life. I'm going to get together at 10:45 or around that time, and I'm going to be with other people that are also trying to say thank you to God for what he's done. And just as we try and tell our kids this is important, this is why growing up, I went to church every single Sunday. Didn't matter what I was doing. Didn't matter if I had some event the following morning, if I was out late Saturday night. It didn't matter what was happening. Mom and Dad said, you're in church on Sunday morning. For them, it was one way that we say, thank you, God. One way that they said, thank you, God, for my family. And we're going to be in church. And we're going to show you, God, because we're going to raise our children to know you and raise them to say thank you to you as well. Because without you, we wouldn't have anything. So your presence is a way in which you say thank you to God. You're teaching your children something. If you grew up this way, your parents, whether they realized it or not, were teaching you something about this God we gather together to worship. That's why we're here, to worship him. And so this psalm is trying to teach us that as well. So I hope that I can give you something very practical with this psalm. Saying thank you to God is not always easy. Sometimes we struggle with how we do that. The psalms, all of them, the collection of the psalms, there's like 150 of them, are a great way for you to do that. If you struggle with talking to God, if you struggle with prayer, if you struggle with what do I even say to God, opening up the book of Psalms and reading some of them are a great way to get better at it. When I read these, I actually read them out loud at times. If you ever walked in the church and it's a weekday and I'm in my office and you hear somebody talking, I read the scripture out loud. I read it out loud to myself. So you would hear that. I'm not talking to anybody but myself and a God. Maybe you think I'm crazy. That's partially true, but it's a way for me to give thanks. And I just repeat it back to God. You could say this whole thing back to God. Thank you, God, that your love endures forever. Thank you, God, that you are the God of gods. The psalmist is trying to communicate something in the midst of actually telling a story here. As I said, Psalm 136 does not need his love endures forever after every single line. In Hebrew literature, if you wanted to emphasize something important, you repeated it. Like maybe when you send an email, you have it all in all capital letters, you bold it, you have big font, and you put exclamation points behind it because you're trying to make a point about something. Well, in Hebrew, they would just keep repeating it. They would keep saying it over and over again, like his love endures forever. So he's trying to emphasize something in the midst of writing this psalm that really doesn't need that line in it. I could read that whole thing, and it would still make sense without me reading his love endures forever. And actually, what the psalmist is doing is telling a story. So in each of these verses, the psalmist is going back to something that every Jewish person would have been taught growing up. The first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch. That's Genesis and Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, those five books of the Bible. And the psalmist is using those five books of the Bible to tell a story to all these people gathered together about them. This is the story of Israel. And And we have a connection to that because of how we believe God created all things. But in this particular psalm, he is drawing out creation, that God is the one who created the earth, that God is the one who created everything. You can hear that in the beginning where he is basically making the claim that there is no other God but God. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. He's making a claim about who this God is. There's lots of gods. Where Israel is, the place they live right now, as they're hearing this being read, this was probably maybe a prayer or a song or something that they used in worship like this. And so they lived in a community, and outside of their walls, there were a lot of people that worshiped a lot of other gods. And so he's starting out by saying, there is only one God worthy of our worship. And he uses creation to tell that story. As you go through verses 4 and 9, you're hearing the creation story. And actually, it's verbiage that is exactly the same as Genesis. You would read the same line if you read it in Genesis. Then he goes on to tell a story about being in Egypt. Israel was in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And God rescued them. And he tells that story of God rescuing them and taking them to the Red Sea. And through the midst of telling this story, after every single line, he is saying, your love endures forever. God's love endures forever. So the story is really history. They're learning about where they came from, the history of their heritage, their family, the things that God brought them through. The people alive today that would have been hearing this were not alive when they were in Egypt. So they're hearing history about their people. But in the midst of telling that history or that story, the psalmist is trying to communicate something else, that they should be thankful, that God fought for them. He references Pharaoh. He references kings that would have been opposed to Israel as God promised them this land that he was giving them. And then he ends that with actually the land that God gave them. You can read about all this stuff that he is saying from Genesis to Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is really Moses kind of saying the same thing. He's trying to get them ready to go into the land, the promised land, and he's trying to get them to be thankful. He's trying to get them to think the exact way the psalmist is writing this. But the way that the psalmist does this is by repeating himself and saying that throughout Israel's history, there's one thing that remains. There's one thing you can count on, one thing you can bank on, and that is that God's love endures forever. He is trying in the midst of this storytelling to get them to be thankful as well. Moses was trying in the midst of talking to them, as you read Deuteronomy, that's Moses talking to Israel basically, trying to get them to be thankful as they enter the promised land, because it's very easy to be ungrateful. It's very easy to become thankless, especially in our society, where there's like fewer and fewer people that just seem to be thankful for things that you do for them, seem to be not as grateful for what they have and what they experience. And the psalmist did not want Israel to lose that. They wanted them to know that. And it's important for them to say that back to God. And so he, in the midst of telling the story, says over and over again, his love endures forever. Now, when you think about that, his love endures forever, that word love, oftentimes we think of, when someone says love, we think emotion. Like if you love somebody, I would say, generally speaking, we instantly go to feelings that we have for somebody. That I love this person and I feel happy about them and I'm kind of giddy and, you know, I just love this person and we're smiling. And it's very emotional based. When we say that, like, I love you and you really loved one another when you were dating and it was just like this picture perfect thing, and then you first got married and, oh, it's just so wonderful. We love each other. And then it's like 10 years later and do you still love each other? Because love is not about that emotion. Love is something else, and it's about something deeper than simply feelings and emotion. And I mean, you know that. You know love isn't that. So the psalmist is using a word that we actually do not even have an English translation for. This Hebrew word, is a word that you cannot translate it into English as like a simple word, like the. Well, I can translate that into English. It just works perfectly. That's how you say it in Hebrew. This is how you say it in English. You can do that very easily. This word cannot be translated that way because we just don't have an equivalent for it. The translators for the NIV decided to use the word love because it is communicating God's love. The problem is, in English, that word love has lots of different connotations to it, and we've got to explain what that love looks like. The Hebrew word is chesed. Can you say that? Chesed. You need to get the ch. You're like getting ready to hockaloogie. Chesed. Now, don't do it on the back of the person sitting in front of you. Chesed. You've learned a Hebrew word today. The problem is we don't have an English word that translates perfectly from chesed. So that is the word that's being... Now, imagine repeating that every time. You're a chesed. You like that 26 verses, you got to do that. What's it communicating? There's one guy that wrote an Old Testament commentary on the book of Psalms, 3 volumes. He chose to translate, he translates Hebrew all the time. He translated it this way, that after every line that I would have read that says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his commitment is forever." That's how he translated it. Because that word, chesed, is not perfectly translated as love. There is a bit of commitment in there. Somebody else translates it as loyal love. Somebody else translates it as sacrificial love. There's something deeper that's happening in this word. We just translate love. That God's commitment to these people is forever. This love. The reason that we know he's committed to them is look what he's done in our people's history. God has heard our cry from Egypt. He rescued us out of Egypt. Even when we turned our back on him, his commitment to us was forever. He gets to the Red Sea, if you know that story. And all these things that the psalmist is saying is giving some flashbacks or conjuring up a vision in their mind of the story of their people. And they get to the Red Sea. And they're like, they say to Moses, we would have been better off staying back in Egypt as slaves than bringing us out here to die. And then God splits the Red Sea in two. So you don't get that whole story of the grumbling against Moses and the complaining about things. And it says, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his commitment is forever. And brought Israel out among them, his commitment is forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his commitment is forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, split it apart, because his commitment is forever. Even in the midst of Israel complaining, even in the midst of Israel being ungrateful that this God just saved them, the psalmist says, because his commitment is forever. His love endures forever. His loyal love, his faithful love, however we translate that, is not going to end. It goes on and on and on. And so in the midst of telling this story, giving history, he is interjecting this phrase that they just keep repeating to get them to be thankful for who God is and for what he's done. In the Psalms, many of the Psalms try and do that very thing. And so as I said, this is one of the places I go back to often. And like I said, I just kind of repeat it back to God. If you struggle with being thankful, not that you're not thankful, but how do I say that to God? How do I tell God I am? Well, if you sing these songs, I can't sing worth anything, but I sing these songs because I'm trying to be thankful to God. And luckily no one's around me, so that they're ungrateful that I'm trying to be thankful, but singing is a way that we try and be thankful. When I read these psalms, it's not just for the sake of reading. It's trying to be thankful to God for who he is and what he's done. And so the psalmist is seeking to do that. Now, their word for God was Yahweh. That's what they called God. So when you see the word, give thanks to the Lord, it says, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. That's the translation that they gave for that. They didn't want to use God's name in vain in any way, so they actually just gave him the name Yahweh. Because they felt God's name was too holy to even say, they just said Yahweh. And so in verses 1 through 9, they are basically being thankful to God in a very general way, that he created this universe, that he is the only God. And honestly, that's a big deal. For me to go and say that outside of this room, that could get me in trouble. I would be viewed as intolerant in a lot of ways, because I say that there's one true God. This is the only God that is real and that exists, which means all those other religions out there that are worshiping God are not worshiping the one true God. And yet the psalmist is saying to the congregation repeating this, we recognize you, God, as the one true God. And we are thankful that you, God, are God above all other gods and Lord above all other lords. There is none like you. No one has done wonders like you. God, you created the sun and the moon and you put it in their place. In the ancient Near Eastern world, the sun was a god, the moon was a god. People identified life and identity off of the stars. The psalmist is saying, they're not gods, but you put those where they're supposed to be. Because in Israel, there's a lot of people that worshipped a lot of different things. And, you know, maybe we're not making stone statues and we're not looking at the sun as a god and making sacrifices to the sun. But there's a lot of things in our lives that want to take the place of God. There's a lot of things that want your worship. And the psalmist is saying your worship belongs one place, and that's God. No, we don't make stones and worship them, but there's a lot of people that worship the home they live in. It's beautiful. It's made of brick and mortar, and they worship it. There's a lot of people that worship metal. There's a car that they just love, and it becomes an idol in their life, and they worship it. Yeah, we're not worshiping the sun and the moon, but we're worshiping other stuff. And the psalmist is saying there is only one place that our worship should be directed, and that is to God. God is the one with great skill and design, and out of his goodness creates this world and all of creation itself. Now, maybe the leaves didn't change as beautiful as they do sometimes. It didn't have to be that way. Why do they change like that? They could just fall off the tree and the same thing could happen every year. You know, they just fell off the tree and they go through the process, the whole thing happens. That would be easy enough. But yet you have all these picturesque scenes of all this color on a mountainside and the beauty that is. God didn't have to do that. God creates and it's beautiful, and the psalmist recognizes that. The psalmist recognizes that all of creation is something that we can praise God for. On my laptop, I have different scenes. Whoever took these pictures built into Windows PC is different scenes from different places all over the world. And it's just landscape. It's just like a mountaintop or a beachfront or, you know, the starry sky or whatever. But I love seeing those and having those cycle through because they're amazing. They're beautiful. God didn't have to do it that way. God created these things that are beautiful, and God cares for all of creation. And the psalmist is saying we should be thankful for that. So at Thanksgiving, you know, we gather together. We usually have a big meal together, and we're trying to be thankful as our heritage when they first gathered in this country and they had that first Thanksgiving, and they were trying to be thankful to God that they were alive. We survived. And we're thanking God. It can be as general and as easy as that. At Thanksgiving, we have these decorations up here. There's all this harvest here. The farmers are harvesting the fields, and we connect Thanksgiving with food and harvest and things like that. Yet we have no control over that, other than we plant it in the ground and we hope that the conditions are right. We have the right environment, that the stuff is going to grow. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing a farmer can do to make it grow. There's things they can do to help it. But we're praying that seed that we plant grows and that we get food from it. And we harvest it every year, and we just assume that's the way it's going to happen. We don't provide any of that for ourselves. God does that for us. All that we have, the fact that you have a job, the fact that you are healthy enough to go to that job, that is God's provision for our lives. See, we don't recognize some of these just minor things in our life that we could really be thankful for. So when you're driving to work, maybe be thankful for that job instead of unthankful. Now, not every job is wonderful every single day. But one of the basic things, before I eat a meal, one of the things our family does is we pray. We say thank you to God in some way, shape, or form. When I am eating my meal by myself, not as a family, I say thank you to God for providing for my family. That's like the one prayer I say every day. Thank you, God, for providing for my family. Because I know I can't do it myself. I know it's not me who's doing it. And I'm trying to say to God, I know where it comes from. It's very simple. I say it every single time I eat. And it's just trying to say thank you to God for something general and basic. And this is what the psalmist is trying to get people in the congregation to do. All that we have, all that we see, we can be thankful to God for. We learned last week that not every country is like ours. Not everybody's experience is like ours. And we have a lot of reasons to be thankful in this country. As I said, to thank a vet, because we know that it doesn't exist as it does here all over the world. And there's very general things we can be thankful for. It's not like God doesn't like hearing that God doesn't care about that. Just saying thank you in general is an important part of our lives. We tell our kids that, just to be thankful. He goes on to tell this story in Yahweh's activity in Israel's life. Every step of the way of your life, God was with you and God was involved. In fact, he heard your cry in Egypt and he rescued you. In fact, he saw you there at that Red Sea and you were afraid of dying and God split it in two. In fact, he saw you as you were getting ready for that promised land and he fought for you. If you were here a number of weeks ago, I was preaching through Joshua. And Joshua has that encounter with what some believe is a messenger of God or a pre-incarnate Christ or something, that the divine was there. And Joshua asks this divine being, are you for them or for us? Before they entered the promised land and they knew they were going to have to fight these battles. And that divine being says, I'm not for either of you because this is my battle. And the psalmist is saying, his love, his commitment is forever. He is active and a part of your life. Have you thought about that in your own life? Ways in which you saw God work in your life, and have you said thank you for that? Little things are big things. And just saying thank you to God. And, you know, when we teach our kids that, it helps them to understand how to be thankful. When I was this 2 weeks ago, I think, or something like that, Jess and I went down to her mom and grandmother's, and I was going to do some work there. She was having problems with her toilet. I was not prepared to do the amount of work that I was supposed to do because I didn't know how bad it was, so I didn't have all the material. I wasn't going there expecting that. So months ago, I don't even remember how long ago, my toilet was leaking at my house, and I had to replace the water line going to the toilet. So I go to the hardware store, and I'm like, I didn't purchase that, so I'm driving there, and I'm like, okay, I've got to get this. And so I come home, and I put it on the water line at the bottom, and then I try and attach it to the toilet, and guess what? It's not long enough. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So if you do fix-it jobs, you know how annoying it is to go back to the hardware store or back to Lowe's to purchase it again? How much time that takes? I was like, okay, I'm almost done. This stupid thing was not long enough. So I'm driving back, and this is just the way that I talked. I'm like, God, why couldn't you just send me to the right spot and get the right one? Like, here it is, Ted, pick that one up. I'm like complaining to God all the way back. I got to purchase this other one, bring it back, and I put it on, and it's fine. So now we're months, fast forward months, I'm down at Jess's grandmother's house, and the water line's leaking. Guess what size water line I need? The very size I purchased months ago that didn't fit this toilet. So now I'm like, oh, sorry, God. You providentially provided for me when I didn't even realize it. And I'm saying, thank you, God. I don't have to go to the hardware store, pick that up, and do that whole thing. Now you think that's meaningless and kind of dumb. Maybe it is, but that's how simple it is. I was just, thank you, God, for the fact that I didn't know why this happened, but here's why. And sometimes that's just how God works in our lives. You don't know why it's happening this way. Months and maybe even years later, you can think back and say, thank you, God, for this happening in my life. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. It's important for us to recognize God's activity in our lives and say thank you. The psalmist, in telling this story, this is just history about, we've heard this 1,000 times, but he tells it in a different way. After every line, he says, because his commitment is forever. His love endures forever. Do you recognize in the midst of this story that I am telling you that you can be thankful that God's love endures forever? His commitment to you, to us, is forever. He closes by reminding the people that God is mindful, he is involved, and he is God over everything. And for that reason, we can give him thanks. He recognized their humiliation, their low estate, it says. He remembered us in our low estate. He remembered us when we were nothing. In Egypt, we were subhuman. We weren't even people. We were like animals. His love endures forever. 400 years they experienced that. Do you think they ever thought God forgot about them? Where is your commitment, God? His commitment is forever. He freed us from our enemies. You want to take us where? You want us to fight who? But his love endures forever. You're not going there alone. In the midst of this story, I am telling you, people, you can give thanks because God's commitment is forever. He gives food to every creature. He comes back. That's just a way for him to say, like at the beginning, when he says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Give thanks to God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. He's just saying it in a different way. This God who gives food to his creatures. This God who provides for every human being on this planet, for every animal on this planet, for the fact that it's rotating the way it's rotating, the fact that we're this far away from the sun and not too close to the sun, but not too far away from the sun, and the fact that the gravity exists and we don't, all this stuff. Now, they didn't think about it in that way, but I'm telling you, all this stuff that we just take for granted, the psalmist is saying, thank you, God. Because life can exist on this planet, I know your commitment to us is forever. He doesn't only just provide for us, he provides for the animals. In fact, all of creation is going to be redeemed at some point. We know it's not the way it's supposed to be. There shouldn't be earthquakes, but there are. At one point, God will, when Jesus returns, redeem all of creation itself. You are the God over everything. That is the first step in coming to know this God, that you are willing to confess that that is true, which in our society today is not easy. And yet it's what God requires, because God is mindful and God is involved and God is the God over all things. He's telling this story in the midst of telling a history. If you cut out his love endures forever from the psalm, they categorize all the psalms. There's psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise, psalms of this, psalms of that. If you cut that out, this would be a psalm of history. Like they're just talking about the history of Israel. But because this is in there, it can be categorized differently. This is not simply the psalmist telling a story about history. It is the psalmist reminding people that they are completely dependent upon the love of God, that God's love has pervaded all of our people's history, that as his sons and daughters, God's steadfast love, his loyal love, his commitment, his chesed, is forever. It endures forever. It's not simply history. Your story should have this intermingled within it. To me, this is one of the teaching tools that we can use and that we try and use with our kids. And we recognize stuff that happens in our life as reasons in which we can say thank you to God. It's as simply as driving from our house to my parents' house and saying, God, thank you that we got here safely. And we pray about that with our kids and give us safe travels from here to there. Give us safety and protection. Every morning that Lily goes off to school or Leah goes to preschool, we thank God for the opportunity for them to do that, and we pray for their protection every single day. God is involved in our lives and desires to be so, and we need to teach ourselves that His love pervades our whole life, and in fact, our lives are dependent upon that. I'd encourage you to thank God regularly. If that's not something you do, when you're driving to work, just say thank you to God for some stuff. Think about some things you can say thank you to God for. If you eat a meal, maybe it's lunch and you got a working lunch or whatever, and you know, it's hard to just get time to yourself before you eat, just thank God for the food, thank God for provision. If you don't do it with your children, I would encourage you to figure out a way to say thank you to God at meal times or whenever before they go to bed or whatever. Recognizing who God is, if you struggle with that, if you struggle to say thank you because you're just not sure what to say to God, I encourage you to read in the Psalms. I encourage you to take this time, we're all planning our vacations, planning our family gatherings. Use November to figure out how to make thankfulness a part of your life, how to make thankfulness a part of your kids' lives. Recognizing who God is and recognizing what He has done. The Psalms is a great way to do that. Just read them out loud and repeat it back to God as a way to say thank you. In fact, you'll start doing this after 30 or 40 days. Let's see if the studies are true. You know that scientists say you're healthier, thankful people are healthier, they have less stress. Do this for like 30 days and see if it's true. See if you have less stress in your life because you are trying to be a thankful person, recognizing who God is and recognizing what He's done in your lives, in your story. Your story is being written now. You are living that story. In the midst of it, are you able to say, thank you, God, your love endures forever. God is committed to His people and to all of creation. The psalmist is trying to remind us of that. In fact, we kind of try and do that. Now, I know Thanksgiving means a lot of different things to a lot of different people in our country, but at one point, that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to recognize to whom we should be thankful for a lot of stuff that's out of our control. And the psalmist is trying to do that to Israel, and I believe that psalm is communicating that same thing to all of us. There's a lot of things that we can be thankful for that are out of our control. God is mindful, God is involved, and His love is active. The psalmist is telling us a story here, not of a God who is like, good luck with all of that. He's telling a story about a God who is involved in all of Israel's life and in fact has been involved since the beginning of time when He spoke this world into existence and He made a covenant with all of humanity that He would redeem it. And His love is active. We saw how active it was in Israel's life. And we saw how active it was when He sent His Son Jesus. This love is, this commitment is forever. It's not short. It's not, well, I wonder if God's committed to me today. I haven't thought about God all week. I rarely do this. I rarely pray to God. I rarely thank God. I've just been at a bad place in my life. I wonder if God's still committed to me. This psalm is a reminder that God is. God's commitment is forever. God's love endures forever. He has shown that to us, that while we were yet sinners, while we walked away from God, while we haven't thought about God, while we've done all this stuff, His commitment is forever. God's love endures forever. He showed that to all of us through sending his son, and he continues to show that to us. Look for ways to be thankful in your life. I encourage you and challenge you that if you haven't done this, use the psalm to do it, but figure out how you can be thankful as we go through November and see if your life, if your perspective has changed or different at all. Let's pray. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, that you are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Thank you that you show up in our life in different ways. Thank you that you are involved in our lives. Thank you that you continue to work in our lives. Thank you, God, that you are committed to us forever. God, your love does endure forever, and without it, Lord, this would be a difficult place, a tough place to live, a tough life to lead, I think. I think that's why we have a lot of our struggles. There's a lot of people that are living lives of loneliness, lots of people that just don't have anybody in their lives. God, help us as your people to thank you regularly, and help us to help our kids understand that and how important that is. So, Lord, as we go through this November, as we'll get ready to celebrate with family and friends, Lord, I pray that we would be better aware to whom we should be thankful and why we should be thankful to you, Lord. And that we could repeat as we think about things that happen in our own lives, that we could repeat, and his love endures forever. And his love endures forever, Lord. That our story as well can be a story of praise and thanksgiving. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.